This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. Powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
You know, at number 8 out there, did you see how many tackles he, or how many people he made him miss? It was pretty impressive. I think early on that got us going. And we thought we could hit them with some of the downhill stuff. Obviously, they're missing a key part to that defense. Two starters, actually. And so, but I thought, you know, we did what we had to do.
Good morning and welcome in. The Green Bay Packers victorious against the AAA San Francisco 49ers yesterday, the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the history of the NBA.
Yes.
And so much more to get to. This is the Mason Crosby Show, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, broadcasting from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios, or powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios. Mason Crosby is here.
Good morning, Victory Monday. Oh, so many victories, so many things to talk about. The Bucks are rolling now. Our Packers get their big win against that depleted 49ers team. But hey, I don't discount any win in the NFL, especially against a team with the quality that the 49ers can put out there. And yeah, I'm excited. It's Thanksgiving week. We're rolling.
What are we doing here?
Hey,
shouldn't we be off like your kids?
My kids are off. Yes.
What are they doing off? My kids got Monday and Tuesday. Go to school Monday and Tuesday.
They have to go to school?
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. This isn't winter break, bro.
down here we get a fall break, a whole week off. Thanksgiving's a whole week.
What are you even paying for then?
I know, exactly.
You're paying for your kids to not go to school? Amazing.
I have to watch my kids? This is ridiculous.
Agreed. 38-10, Packers roll, especially in the second half. They pull away. San Francisco, like, literally was playing hot potato. They tried to give the ball away as much as possible. You play who's on your schedule, right, Mason? Like, you don't decide who's hurt on the other team. You don't decide when on the schedule you play another team. You play who's on your schedule.
Yeah, and I mean, I keep seeing everything about, oh gosh, was this even a quality win for the Packers? Like, are we going to discount this whole thing? You never discount a win, especially against a franchise that has given us fits.
Yep.
The past few years. I mean, and I love Keyshawn Nixon had a quote when they asked him about it, and it's like, hey, we had a backup quarterback play for three games when Jordan Love was out. We found a way to win. Like, stop making excuses. It's like you have injuries, things happen. Like, you have other guys on your team. If you can't get them ready to play, then yeah, you're gonna get steamrolled. That's how this league works. So I love that they went out there and just thumped a down Niners team, a team that's just not playing their best ball, didn't have the players that they needed. How the Packers played, though, I mean, I watched that game. Like, I'm not sure what Brock Purdy would have done all that different. I mean,
interesting.
Brandon Allen found Kittle a few times, which I knew that's like he needed to lean on Kittle to try to do anything. Debo Samuel can't catch the ball over his head, apparently. My take on Debo, and there's probably going to be some people
hashtag
that hate
hot
me,
take.
Especially in
hot
Niners.
Take.
No, I think he is an exceptional football player. Mm-hmm. Like, and whenever you look, like, his talent and the ability, what he can do on that offense. But as far as a true receiver at times, like, he needs to catch those balls. The interception that McKinney had was a catchable ball. He dropped another one in the fourth quarter that was just above his helmet. So sometimes as a true receiver, I don't think he is you know, always on that same elite level. But as far as a football player and what he can do on the field, like, he is exceptional. And I thought the Niners didn't utilize him very well, you know, in that game. Like, they didn't the jet sweeps and the stuff. Like, they weren't getting him the ball. Like, you know, I don't think I'm drawing a blank. I mean, Kittle did well. I don't think you know, they didn't run the ball exceptionally well.
Right. With McCaffrey did not look.
McCaffrey didn't.
He did not look like McCaffrey.
So why not just feed Deebo Samuel? Just like work him, get him the ball. Like, did they? I mean, watching, I didn't even feel like they did a lot of like bubble screens, and they just weren't like trying to feed the ball to Deebo, which I feel like is a miss, especially when you have a backup quarterback in. So. But again, can't discount this. I thought the Packers really just played a dominant game, even with, you know, Jordan didn't play his best game, like numbers wise. He didn't throw the ball exceptionally well, but that's why you have a balanced attack. You know, to be able to get a 100-yard rusher against a defense, I didn't see the exact number of games or the stat line, and I'm sure Tommy has it, but they had not allowed a 100-yard rusher for like a very long time. And I mean, to be able to go and put 100 on a team, even if Nick Bosa is out, yeah, I feel like is exceptional.
It's the Mason Crosby Show live on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Also at thefanmilwaukee.com and on the free Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Go to your app store. Whether you have Android or Apple or Google or whatever it is you have, it is the free Odyssey app. Got a lot to talk about with the Packers offense, the Packers defense, our weekend wrap-up, a lot of Badgers news to get to, and, of course, Mason's extra points. What do you got for me, Tommy?
Yes, Mason, I do have the stat. Josh Jacobs became the first player in the past 55 regular season games to rush for 100 yards against the 49ers. That is the longest streak since 1955.
And the naysayers can say, Mason, of course, that, like, well, it took him 26 carries, and he only averaged 4.1. He didn't average 5 yards. He didn't average 6 yards. But that means they fed him the ball, and he ate. And, yes, he had some. And there were even, like, you don't see it in the box score. The times that San Francisco did get penetration and had him for a 2-3 yard loss, and then he broke a couple tackles just to get back to the line of scrimmage or a gain of one. Like, that's a big play to not be 2nd and 13, but to be 2nd and 9.
That's where, this was a Josh Jacobs game where he break 15 plus tackles. I mean, he broke a ton of records on the number of tackles broken and all those things. So it's not like this defense wasn't like in position to stop the run. Josh Jacobs just willed it to happen. And I mean, that I've been, you know, I was uncertain. I talked about this early on, if Josh Jacobs was going to be the answer to replace a great running back in Aaron Jones and all the things that he could do. But he is proving that he is that well-rounded, that back that this team needs right now to go and get it done. And I am high on Josh Jacobs. I love what he's about. I love the teammate that he is. He just seems like he has that locker room right behind him, ready to roll. And that offensive line has just been, doing a great job just giving him those little seams where he can use that ability to break tackles, even if a guy, comes in from the linebacker position or, safety position to try to make a tackle. He is just running through smoke, and, it's fun to watch. That good Packer, balanced attack where it's like, let's run the ball 26 times with Josh Jacobs alone, like, because they ran the ball, more with the other guys. So to be able to do that and just take some pressure off of Jordan Love having to carry a full, the full weight of the game on his shoulders is awesome. I mean, Jordan only threw 23 times.
That's right.
To win 38-10 and only have 23 passes, you're rushing the ball, running the ball more than you're passing. That's not the normal NFL, kind of way to go and put 38 points on the board. So I love that that's how they won this game against the Niners team that had kind of, honestly, and more than just like out physical to, this Packers team, also out finessed us in past years. Like, it was just like they could kind of beat us in different ways. So to be able to just go and dominate, I don't discredit this win for 1 second.
So, talking about Josh Jacobs and the performance that he had, and we'll get into, where he ranks on the free agent signings for this year, forever for Goody on offense. But I want to kind of turn it to the offensive line, Mason, and what does it mean for the team? Obviously, it helps Jordan Love, but for the running back specifically, when you have that type of consistency on the offense, you know, they haven't had major injuries. Yeah, they've had some guys banged up here and there. Of course, Elgton Jenkins, we know, has been banged up. But what does it mean to have, like, your guys on the line and developing that type of chemistry and camaraderie?
Yeah, I mean, it all starts with the O&D line. So to be able to have those guys consistently able to play, trying to keep them as healthy as possible. Obviously, the bye week was critical. It looks like everybody came back just firing on all cylinders, healthy, ready to go down the stretch. I'm nothing but optimistic about the cohesiveness and kind of you can feel like this offensive line is really gelling. I thought they protected well. Obviously, without Nick Bosa, you know, rushing the passer, it's hard to tell, but I feel like the last 2 weeks they've really protected Jordan Love exceptionally well. He's able to kind of see the field, move around in the pocket where he needs to. I think this O-line is really gelling at the right time. Got to just keep them healthy, keep them, where they need to be and moving forward.
Rashid Walker played 100% of the snaps. Sean Ryan played 100% of the snaps. Zach Tom, 94%. Josh Myers, 94%. Elgton Jenkins, 94%.
Like that must have just been at the end when they came out.
Right, I think that's right. Like that last drive when Willis played, I think that they got Kadeem Telfort and Andre Dillard, they got them 5 and 4 snaps.
Love it.
But it just... like that type of consistency, and that's what you want, right? You want your guys out there every down, but they're there. Like it's week 12, 13, whatever it is, and your starting offensive line, knock on wood, knock on Formica, knock on cartilage.
Everything you can.
Yeah, knock on bone on bone or whatever you got going on. Like they are still, they're offensive. I mean, I think... and as the season goes on, I think we're just going to see how much more important that is week after week after week. If these guys can stay healthy and can stay cohesive, that's a big deal for everybody.
Yeah, this week's going to be a big one. It's a close, tight game. You're going to go into a Thursday game. So, just kind of take it easy on their bodies, try to get them more mental reps, doing all that stuff. Come out of this game, healthy will be critical because then you have, a little bit of a breather, a longer stretch to kind of get yourself and your mind and body moving into this December month, which is, everything. I heard Tom Brady talk about it on air yesterday during the game, and it's just kind of the mindset of football players, organizations, like the season is moving after Thanksgiving. Everything happens after Thanksgiving. You start playing all the division games, all the like pressure packed games start kind of appearing on your schedule. So after Thanksgiving, this is going to be a critical stretch and we need all those pieces in place. So hopefully, we're smart. We do it the right way. Go out there and, have a fun one on Thursday night against a, kind of an unpredictable Miami Dolphins team. So.
Yeah. And not a common opponent. It's one you see every 4 years or whatever. So it's kind of weird. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. It's the Nicolay Law Fan talk and text line. Feel free to give us a call, or you can text in. Are all your eggs in the basket after this win, or is this win with a grain of salt because of all the injuries, specifically Purdy and Bosa? I know there were other injuries, and we all know that, but those were the main ones. When your quarterback and your best defensive player are out, there's going to be comments about that. So are you all in on this win, that this was, the Packers did what they had to do, or are you still looking at this like, well, they won, but is there, do you have a but, and what is your but?
I think they got a little hurt because, I think Purdy was trying to play most of the week. So I'm not sure if like they were able to adjust the way that the Packers had, in that 3-game stretch with Malik, but I still, when you look at kind of recent history, the Packers adjusted so much better to a backup, putting a backup quarterback in and what they were trying to do. Again, I don't think that they really played to, I don't necessarily know all of Brandon Allen's skill set. It might not be vast.
He's not terrible.
He threw some decent balls, but yeah. I feel like they just didn't like, again, they didn't feed Debo. They didn't do anything like creative with
McCaffrey. They fed Kittle a little bit.
Kittle did, you know, get dangerous down the middle of the field, so which I thought he would.
Real quick question. I don't think McCaffrey's 100%, right? I mean, to only run him 11 times. I know I heard some people talking about during the post game yesterday about, like, maybe they came out throwing a little bit more just to keep Green Bay honest and off balance. And so that, and then they got behind. And then, but if McCaffrey's healthy, he shouldn't have 11 carries, right?
Yeah. Well, in those first two drives, I mean, they went three and out. Our pass rush was, you know, really on point. I thought they did a great job of disciplined pass rush, really affecting the quarterback. Obviously, not a huge fear and threat of, like, what he was going to do downfield. Right. So I think we were able to be pretty aggressive there. To not give McCaffrey the ball more, but I think they just got behind. It was like three and out. We scored both those times. Like the game just started kind of slipping. And you could tell that they, yep. You know, they lost their rhythm and their way. And then with a backup quarterback, he just, you know, it's hard. And we affected him, you know, a lot in the pocket. He threw some good balls. Kittle did what he did, you know, getting in the middle of the field, kind of affecting the game a little bit. But I just felt like there was never a threat that we were going to get gashed or beat, you know, on that, you know, by their offense. And that allows our guys to just really play aggressive and not be, you know, playing so defensive and like conservative. It's just like, let's go fly around and make plays. So it was fun to watch. I thought that, you know, finally our defense got another turnover, you know, finding, you know, just getting after the ball, you know, affecting plays all over the field. It was a great game. I really enjoyed watching this Packers team take on this Niners team and just dominate them.
Absolutely. And we'll talk more about it. We'll deep dive into the offense. Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs. We'll talk about the defense. X finally with another interception. We've been waiting for this one. But a good week also for some of the players on defense who have underperformed to this point in the season. We will talk about that. We'll get to our weekend wrap up. We've got a lot of Bucks talk to get to. Badgers basketball, Marquette basketball. Unfortunately, we have to talk about Badger football, but some, you know, there's a silver lining there. There's some good news, not necessarily on the field, but off the field. Definitely some good news. And of course, Mason's extra points. The 18th annual Fan and Kiss FM toy drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest is back at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek the week of December 2nd. That will be next week. So bring a new toy, make a cash donation, or donate online. That's Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek starting next Monday. When we come back, more Packers talk again. Are you encouraged? Are you excited about beating down the Niners who have been such a bane in the existence of the Green Bay Packers? Or is this one with a grain of salt? Is this one with a little asterisk? However, you know, asterisk. There's a K at the end of asterisk. Asterisk. But there's another S there, too.
Just go to break.
Oh, he's Mason. Gosh. I'm Mitch. Tommy's on the other side. Our studio is powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. I love country
music. You know, I think it all started with the run game. I think we were making some big plays in the run game, and O-line was doing a great job giving Josh some lanes and then just handing the ball to eight. You know, three touchdowns on the ground for him, big night for him. But, I think it's all started up front. Obviously, Tuck had that screen, just great execution there. But like I said before, it just comes down to executing the plays and finding ways to get in the end zone. Because I could never live without you. One of my favorite songs
about the top to bottom. Perfect. Oh, man.
You feel
Let's
this
go.
One?
It's Monday.
That's right. Old School Country Monday.
Old School Country
it's
Monday.
It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios powered by the Podwatering Sportsbook. That was Jordan Love giving praise that it all starts with the offensive line. Like we talked about in the first segment, gave Kraft some love. Obviously, Jacobs with the hat trick of touchdowns. I remember texting you guys like 5 minutes into the second half where they were like, there were back-to-back punts, and it was like, I was worried this game was going to turn into like a boring, like, just like the Packers do everything not to lose, but they don't actually work to win, which we've seen that before. Like, that's...
Yeah, that can happen.
That I didn't think San Francisco had enough to win this game, but that the Packers could kind of go into a shell and not show anything and just kind of like start running the ball midway through the third quarter to try to run the clock out already then. I'm glad they didn't pass a ton, but I'm glad they kept, and turnovers obviously helped, but I'm glad they helped put that, they kept that pressure on and put more points on the board.
I think LaFleur, you know, hit on it, and we might have some of his, his stuff, in play to like listen to sound bites from him, but it was, he talked about that, just like putting the nail in the coffin. Like, we saw opportunities to just attack this team and make sure that we put them away, because they're already reaching, kind of trying to find, a way to win games and be in games. They have injuries, all those things. Like, you don't want to let this, like, a wounded animal kind of hang around and then catch fire and find a way to, keep it close. So, I really like what we did. Jordan Love, I love that soundbite, because I just, you could just tell what he feels about Josh Jacobs and this offensive line and how confident he is where, hey, I don't have to carry the weight. I'm confident in what I can do, on the field at any given time. But, like, whenever we have an opportunity to hand the ball off 26 times, let our offensive line just do their job and go out there and protect. And then I get to do play action and just kind of, show some different things off of it. That's like the best job for a quarterback in those situations, especially as we're moving into December football. Mm-hmm. Like, we just showed a recipe that we can get it done, in those, in the trenches, the way that we need to, especially when the weather deteriorates, all that. The field was slick. Guys were sliding around again. I hate that excuse. I mean, bad route's a bad route. Like, yep. I saw guys slipping on routes, and it's like, well, if you round your route out and you don't, aren't balanced when you cut, like, you deserve to slip.
The wide receiver shouldn't slip. The defense should slip. I was talking about that and explaining that to Big Rumble when we were watching the Browns and Steelers game.
Exactly. They're in control.
Like, if the receivers know where you're going and the defense has to react to that, the offensive player should have the advantage. And the 49ers just weren't able to adapt to that. By the way, real quick about that, like, stepping on the gas and taking care of the game. For those of us who were watching the early games, and I know we want to get into this a little bit with weekend wrap-up, but we had just watched the Commanders, the Chiefs, and the Bears all have crazy comebacks. None of them ended up winning, but they had games where they were out. I mean, the games were over, and they came back to tie or make those games close at the end. So having just watched those three, like, in the back of my mind, when the Packers are up at the half, but the 49ers get the ball to start the second half, I'm already thinking, are the Niners going to make something crazy happen here at the end? Like, and I'm so glad they didn't. Like, what a fun fourth quarter for us to just, like, sip something brown and have a hot chocolate and get the fire going and relax.
Well, the thing is that last time the 49ers were down by three possessions in a first half, they came back to win the game against the Rams 2 years ago. So they are never out of the game when they have.
And no one in the NFL is. That's a great point. Like, the Niners do it, and we saw other teams do it yesterday. I mean, it's like, no, these games are not done. Like, you have to play 60 minutes. You can't play 52 and then think you can just rest for 8 minutes.
When the Watson drop happened, you were like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
This could have put the game away, and now we're coming out with no points. And it was definitely, now the Niners get the ball. Did they return the third quarter kick? That was the third quarter kick they returned, like, all the way, and then a holding call bailed them out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you knew
80-yard penalty, essentially.
Like, that was definitely, like, all right, let's talk worrisome.
Let's talk about the Watson drop, because it was basically exactly the same as the first play of his career, right? The bomb from Aaron Rodgers, that 75, that first play of the first
I was at the game.
Yeah, you were there, Tommy.
I was in Minnesota.
Nice,
nice. Or not nice.
Yeah, no,
or not,
you guys make me never want to go to a road game ever again because of that day.
Wow.
So,
okay.
That was awful.
Okay.
But, and he's played so well. And, like, last week he had some, big catches. Like, what happens? How does that happen?
It's sometimes, like, those easy ones that he seems to, just get butterfingers with, where he's literally streaking down the field because he has all the speed, all the stuff, and it's like, just make the catch. I don't know if it's, like, how he throws his hands at the ball. Like, if it's like, if he kind of, you know, sticks him out there and it's like, you know, too early and he's like kind of anticipating. I'm not sure what the issue is there. You know, he makes some exceptional catches, and he did some good things with his legs, you know, in the game at different times. Like, I thought he did fine. Just, it didn't seem to like really weigh on him. Like, they put him back in a jet sweep situation. They kind of, you know, tried to get him the ball in some different, you know, ways after that. But
which I like that. I like that, Mason, that you, yeah, just that keep, you keep just him engaged, keep right?
Yeah, and I don't think this team doesn't have that, like, downer mentality where, like, something happens and, like, it, you know, they get hit with a drop or something, you know, bad happens. They don't just seem to, like, really dwell on it. Like we've talked about, like, the Bears dwelling on the Hail Mary play. Like, you could tell that team kind of, like, was affected for games,
yes,
because of that play.
Not just for games.
That's like games. Yeah. No. So I think this team does a great job of just, all right, let's reload, let's go into the next thing, and like, just, you know, keep, and let's get the ball back in his hands. Like, let's not like just like go away from him because he's, you know, he dropped a pass. And I do think that's the new Jordan Love team. You know, nothing again, Aaron's my boy, but you know, I know for like how he was, it was like you kind of had to prove it for him. So it's like you drop the ball, you're not doing your job, like you're gonna kind of, you know, not see the ball as much, you know, until you can kind of prove it to me again. So I think this new, you know, kind of how they're doing things is, you know, it's good, and it's good for these younger guys, you know, just to see that you can go out there and play free. If you're gonna make mistakes, things are gonna happen. Let's reset and let's go on to the next one. And you know, that's what championship teams have to do. Do I necessarily crown this team because of what they did against San Francisco? Not necessarily. But because they have a tough road, because Detroit's not going anywhere, so they're gonna have to go and play on the road if we get into the playoffs,
yep,
and you know, have some tough matchups there to get a chance to get to the Super Bowl. But I do think this team has that grit and has the stuff that it takes to win tough games. And so to beat a San Francisco team that's down and all that, this is like that is what they needed to do. If this game was close, I think we would be, you know, fairly concerned, you know, about where this team was headed, or like, you know, what their chances of making a run in the playoffs are. But you know, how they handled their business, that's what you got to do at home. You got to take care of that. 38-10 is an awesome win. I hated seeing Romeo Doubs get hurt.
Yes.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Yep.
I mean, you know, concussion. So
that was actually next on my list, because I was going to say they had 10 different receivers get targets. They had 7 guys catch balls, but they had 10 different guys get targets. And again, that shows, like, when you only pass for 163 yards, to have 10 guys get targets, like, nobody's receiving numbers, you know, blew up. But Romeo did lead the team with 3 catches for 54 yards. And he did leave the game. And there's, in a short week, I think, like, you know, in a normal week, you're obviously concerned about a guy with a concussion. But I think in a short week, you're even more concerned about that turnaround time.
Yeah, I mean, with the Thursday night game, I'm not too optimistic that he'll be out there. Again, the fact that Jordan is spreading the ball around, the way we're running the ball, all those things, I don't think that, you know, Romeo is an exceptional player. And some of the, like, his 3 catches were big catches. Like, all 3 of them were like kind of not critical, but it was like they were impactful plays.
He was the third down offense.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. And Tommy, you texted us that, right?
Yeah, he saved third down.
He's the and that's like, he is becoming Jordan's security blanket. Like,
Tom Brady even said how good he is with catching with his hands. Like, he loves how he gets his hands.
Well, you know, Tom Brady,
that was for Mitch. Mitch put that out there for him.
Tom Brady and I are half birthday brothers, so we do have my birthday is his half birthday, and so
that's embarrassing.
And I do have a signed jersey at home. You know, no big deal.
I know.
Did he say happy half birthday?
He did say happy half birthday. No, he didn't. I just assigned, you know.
In his brain, in his mind.
But I also think, like, you know, I thought we'd see this more as the season was developing. And I know he got shut out last week. But Tucker Kraft, like, using him a little bit more, great to see him in the end zone. But also just the fact getting him back involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up, because I had him on my notes to talk about, but we were kind of moving in a different direction.
Breaking news, Mason Crosby has notes.
I do take notes.
I can tell, like...
It's wild.
Dude, you're like, you are on it.
I am locked in. Like Molly laughs at me because like I never take notes whenever she tells me things, and like I don't like taking notes. But I've become a note taker since this show started, and it's therapeutic. It's nice. You get it out. You kind of get your brain moving.
You don't have to remember everything because you actually wrote it down.
Well,
you're smart.
I feel like if I don't remember, then it's something that wasn't important.
That's a good point.
That's my mindset. I'm like, I'll just move on. I can only keep so many things in this in this brain of mine. But let's talk about Tucker Kraft. I was watching him, and I'm trying to see in my mind, how do I define him? Is he a Travis Kelce? Is he a is he a Kittle? Is he I almost think he's almost more like a Andrews for Baltimore.
Oh, Mark Andrews, yeah.
Mark okay. Andrews.
Yep.
Like I think he kind of has a little bit of that, but you can tell he's got that dog in him. I mean, he likes contact, he's physical, he's a great run blocker. Like I think if we honestly, you could build this offense even more so around him than any of the receivers I think we have. I do think Romeo is exceptional. I think Reed is, does some really good things, but almost like the Chiefs, a lot of what Baltimore does with Andrews, I think our offense, and especially with Jacobs, how he runs the ball, if you almost started you just built a lot of plays around Tucker Kraft, he has the skill set to really take over a game and do some really good things. He's a matchup nightmare. I love that little, dump pass that, Jordan threw to him, in the red zone. Like, he can just be such a huge red zone weapon for us.
Yes.
I think Jordan hit on that. Our red zone and third down offense was a lot more effective.
The red zone offense was way better and I know, again, you can say what you want about Bosa and some of the other guys who weren't there, but you still got to put it in the end zone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I told you, I think LaFleur mentioned it. It was we saw the opportunity. This team was weak. Even if Bosa's in there, I mean, their interior was a little, has been down all season. So to how we ran at them was really effective. And it's awesome that, obviously they study and they saw that. And it's we ran Josh Jacobs between the tackles, just hit him right in the heart of their defense. And, and then Josh Jacobs made a ton of people miss tackles, which, he was getting hit, but he was making plays. And so what we did in the red zone just seemed simple. It wasn't over schemed and all of that. And I think that really was effective for us. And so for me, I think Tucker Kraft can really take some strides and some jumps, through the rest of this season, especially as, again, the weather deteriorates. Tight ends are going to play a huge role, in this offense. Just run the ball, get the ball in Tucker Kraft's hands. Again, he's another guy that's going to make people miss tackles. Whenever it's 5 degrees in Lambeau Field, no DB wants to come and hit a tight end, running full speed at him.
And Tucker Kraft loves that. He likes running into guys and not going down. A lot of wide receivers and even tight ends. You get hit, they go out of bounds. Tiger Kraft will take the angle to go back inbounds.
And then he has the athleticism where it's you thump a couple guys and then they go low and they'll jump them. He'll hurdle a guy. So he's shown that. He's done that already. So I think, his skill set is, is infinite. And I think they can just keep building out, offense and scheme to get him the ball more and more. Especially a game Thursday night, if Romeo's out and things like that, this game's going to be more of a let Watson, some of our speed guys, stretch the field. And then a lot of underneath stuff is going to be wide open for us to, take advantage of.
It's supposed to be wind chills in the 20s on Thursday.
Nice. Yeah. Love that.
I think they missed a little bit. I don't know what the temp was last night, but I saw one thing and I thought about screenshotting it for y'all and be like, it said, temp at Lambeau 4 degrees. I think they missed
they missed a number because it was definitely in the mid 40s.
It didn't look that cold.
40s.
I was like, man, these guys look like they're really handling that 4 degree temp really well. But
that sounds like Kraft weather for sure. And I do think that moving forward to this game at least, and I assume the coaching staff is already preparing for this, for Dobbs to be out, Like, and if he plays, it's you know, it's icing. But I think with a, especially with the short week, it's so hard to get through that league concussion protocol. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you got to protect a guy like that. Right. Like, make sure that he's just fully good. I mean, that's not that's not one you need to risk in this game.
Exactly. We're going to get to the Packers defense next. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. That's the Nicolay Law fan talking text line. I know we've got a bunch of texts already talking some Badgers talk. We're going to get to that in the 10 o'clock hour, both Badgers basketball and Badgers football. But we're still focused on our Green Bay Packers. Big win, victory Monday over the 49ers. And we're already starting to look, you know, with the Thursday night game and with Thursday being Thanksgiving, we're already starting to look at the Dolphins. We're not quite there yet. We're still celebrating today. But we do have our eye on what's going on with the Dolphins as well. But coming up, we will talk about the defense, you know, causing turnovers and also on special teams. We'll talk about special teams as well, causing the turnovers on special teams and giving some props to some players who have underwhelmed us to this point in the season, but played a little bit better yesterday and maybe some cause for some optimism there, Mace.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tommy's a full-in Quay Walker fan now. I mean, that's what he does. He just flip-flops.
I'm like, an emotional guy. I am a what have you done for me lately?
That's right.
I like it.
I love it.
Lately, Quay Walker, meaning yesterday, that was the best game he maybe ever played as a Packer.
All right, we will get to that. We will get to that coming up. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Cowboy,
I should have learned. Allen in there, who's been a backup to Purdy for a couple seasons, and now he's forced into a fourth quarter game where it's basically a pass the ball.
He slips again. Allen hit. Ball is loose. And is picked up by Green Bay. Lucas Van Ness got the sack. Packers get it back. Singing those campfire
songs. Oh, I should have been a cowboy. Dude, you nailed this one, Tommy. Mason got excited right away. Yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
Come on, it's Toby, man.
Right? Yeah, Toby always hits. We already talked about that. Yep.
We're all on the same page on that one. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. Tommy's on the other side of the glass. It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And you heard the sound coming back, courtesy of our friends over at Fox. Lucas Van Ness with the strip sack. LVN played a game yesterday, didn't he?
Is that his actual like kind of nickname thing?
I think so.
They call him LVN.
Yeah.
LVN. Yep. All right. See, I'm not in the locker room, so I need to get all the.
That's what the cool guys.
You can call him the Van Nessinator if you want.
Van Nessinator.
Van Nestradamus.
I was so juiced whenever he made that play. Like, I thought he played a really good game. Getting him some more reps is crucial, and how he just took on that tackle and then ran through the running back. Again, Brandon Allen slipping, quarterbacks, all that stuff. It's just like, stop it. Like, why are you slipping? Like, I get our field, but like everyone knows
everyone's
it.
Everyone's field, right?
And you have a chance to get out there and do all the stuff before the game. Like, slipping, like, there's no excuse for it.
I love it. Like, just stop it. Mason Crosby says stop slipping. Breaking news. Mason Crosby tells NFL quarterbacks, just don't slip.
Even the kicker slipped on the opening kick of the game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, did you guys see that?
No.
Kickers are allowed to slip. We're, it's tough.
Whoa.
No, I will admittedly, I have slipped. Like, you stick that plant and it just goes. Like, you can't do much about it. I just think it's like, some of these guys, again, you play on turf a lot, or you play on certain conditions, or you get used to playing on certain fields, and then it's you get out there and like the conditions are done, and they don't adjust. They try to have long strides and cut with like not under their body and doing different things. It's just like you have to learn to adjust when those field conditions. The game might slow down just a little bit because you just can't reach out and depend on that ground being there. So that's kind of always my take. Whenever guys are slipping, they're just not adjusting. If they slip once, okay, you learn from it. If you slip multiple times and you don't make an adjustment or change, then that's on you, and that's a problem, right?
I love that.
But yeah, let's talk LVN, let's talk Quay, and let's talk Nixon. Those are kind of our three guys.
Quay had a day.
Didn't he? He did. He played great. He had the one. I know. You know, we were a little bummed he didn't get that interception. Kind of ball hit him right in the arms. But again, in a great position, made a good play. You know, I think we can be happy that, you know, he defended a pass and was in the right spot. Mm-hmm. I thought he was flying around. You know, he rushed the passer effectively whenever he was asked to do that. It looked like kind of how they were lining him up. You know, they were almost at times running more of a nickel, it looked like. So it was like him and McDuffie in there a lot.
Yep.
You know, and I thought they looked like they freed him up to go and be an athlete and, you know, play on the edges a little bit more. So yeah, he did a great job. You know, Van Ness, I think our front played a more disciplined game than they did against the Bears. Obviously didn't have to worry about a running quarterback as much. You know, they were trying to get after Brandon Allen, but, you know, they looked really good up front. And then Keyshawn, you know, punches that ball out on McCaffrey there as well, forcing that fumble. Yeah, I thought he just played a sound game. And all around, there's not really a player on the Packers team from this game that I would look at and be like, man, somebody, you know, just had a down game or didn't play their best. You know, I thought everybody, you know, was pretty disciplined, played good games. The plays that the Niners made, they just, you know, their players made plays. But other than that, we, you know, we were where we needed to be and didn't let anything big happen, you know, against this team.
Has the shine worn off on Evan Williams a little bit? Like, I feel like he's the first half of the season, the first five, six games, it seemed like he was all over the place. And then he gets hurt, and now he's back. And I know he was a little late on the Kittle touchdown. And I just don't, like, I don't hear his name as much as I thought I'd hear his name at this point.
Yeah, maybe he's not doing as many of the big spark, you know, kind of impact plays that he was early on. You know, you're playing different teams. Yeah, I think he might have been out of position on that Kittle touchdown. Again, Kittle just, you know, making a play, kind of adjusting there. And, yep. You know, Allen finding him in the back of the end zone, which Kittle does. You know, he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a great player
all the time.
Right.
So, yeah, I think Evan Williams is, you know, still playing very solid. He's just not doing the impact stuff that he did early in the season.
And I still think about, like, Keyshawn Nixon, where I know he made the big play to punch the ball out, but I'm still worried in real games against playoff teams, like, you know, this ended up being an exhibition game. It started as a real game, it ended up being an exhibition game. You've got Waddle and Hill coming. It's Thursday night, and regardless of the temperature or the field conditions or whatever, I mean, that's two legit studs at wide receiver for the Dolphins. And as the Packers play, you know, whether it's the Vikings or the Lions or whoever it might be, with good wide receivers down the road, I'm still worried about Keyshawn Nixon in coverage and being able to really count on him.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I've talked like Deebo Samuel. Keyshawn, again, is just an exceptional football player. Sometimes his skill set at that corner position is a little lacking, I think, in just some of the downfield discipline and coverage and things like that. But as far as a ball player, that guy is, you know, is one of the best on this Packers team. So he just does so many, you know, really good things on the field. He'll have to be really disciplined come Thursday night against two, you know, track star type receivers, guys that are gonna, and, you know, a Hill and Waddle, they run really good routes as well, so you're gonna have to be really disciplined there. You know, Valentine, I think, is gonna be a guy that, you know, they're gonna test probably even more so than Nixon.
Yep.
I think he did all right in the game. He's still kind of my question mark, you know, in that defensive backfield without Jair in there, what his kind of whole skill set is and what he's, you know, going to be able to do against some, you know, top caliber wide receivers. But, you know, we're going to get to see, you know, what they are on Thursday night, you know, against guys like Hill and Waddle, guys that are going to run really tough routes to cover. They're going to have speed, you know, all over the field. So, yeah, I think this will be a good test for the defense on Thursday night.
Talking about Jair Alexander and with him being out, after what we found out about the Bears game, where he was on a snap count, or they were hoping he could play, and then he played, but he clearly wasn't healthy enough to play. Do you do you err on the side of caution before bringing him back? Do you, you know, if you're playing the Lions or the Vikings and you need a win, do you bring him, do you kind of force him back in just to get him on the field, or knowing that he's, you know, he's got a little bit of Mr. Glass in him, do you really wait till he's healthy enough to be able to play?
Yeah, I think a guy like Jair, you're gonna just you're gonna reserve until later in the season if you can. Like if he feels fully healthy, if he's right around 100% or even 90% or better, you know, he'll be out there. But I think you need to protect him and make sure that he is available, you know, down the stretch here, going into the playoffs, you know, playing these division games. You know, who knows, Lions could slide a little bit. They still have some tough games coming up, some tough matchups. And again, it could come down to if we go and beat them in Detroit.
Sure.
You know, record-wise, it could get a little tight there at the end. So,
well, with the Vikings, too. I mean, don't sleep on the Vikings.
Exactly.
They keep winning, too.
Vikings are good as well. Like, they're playing some quality ball. Talk about spreading it around. You know, Jefferson didn't really play, you know, didn't get the ball much against the Bears, but they, you know, they fed all the other receivers. You know, Aaron Jones still just a solid back, making, yep, you know, doing some good things over there. So, yeah, this Vikings team could be dangerous down the stretch as well. I mean, this NFC North, the Bears aren't winning, but they're still, I think they're still a fairly quality team. They're just kind of running okay into some, you know, some issues, you know, that's like they're just getting hit by, you know, some good teams. I mean, these last two games against quality NFC North opponents, they played right down to the wire. So, you know, I think they are finding their way, and they will be a team in the future that we're going to have to look out for.
He's Mason Crosby. My name is Mitch Nellis. Tommy Wirtz on the other side of the glass. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Remember the Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Give us a call or shoot us a text. Are you encouraged by this Packers win, or is it with an asterisk because the 49ers had everybody hurt? And of course, if you've missed anything that happened on your favorite show on The Fan, looking for a specific interview, no problem. Simply download it and listen for free on the Odyssey app or go to thefanmilwaukee.com. Catch up on what you might have missed. Specifically, if you missed Andrew Brandt from last week.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Like, even if you're driving on the road right now, pull over, load the app, load the interview, and then continue your drive. Because you really should be listening to it as much as we want you listening to our show live right now. All right, so maybe wait till 11.
Yeah.
And then listen to that. But you want to listen.
Driving for your Turkey Day festivities.
Exactly. You want to listen to Andrew Brandt because he is the guru of all things like Packers, NFL, salary cap, business side. Just he knows a little bit of everything. But Mason, I'm going to hit you with a fan question. I love this fan. You know, we've been breaking down the game from yesterday, and I love your take, but I'm going to throw it back at you. You're okay. Almost too smart. Like you,
oh, thank you.
Like, you know what you're talking about. And as much as I love fans and as much as I love myself and I love Tommy, like, we don't know what we're talking about. We haven't been in a locker room. We don't know it. We like
That's
to
why
think,
it's a good balance.
Exactly. We like to think we know it. But the fan question I want to throw it to you is, you have to pick one. Which is a better free agent signing, X or JJ 8? Like, which was a better free agent signing by Goody? Was it Josh Jacobs or was it the X-Man on defense?
Man, that's a tough one.
Can I give you the fan perspective from a dumb guy behind the glass?
You can give me your perspective.
Yes. Let's hear yes. Tommy's
It's Josh Jacobs.
Why?
Because the offense revolves around Josh Jacobs right now.
But what would Aaron Jones have done differently or not been able to do what Josh Jacobs can do?
Aaron Jones is not the physical runner that Josh Jacobs is. He's right. Definitely more valuable in the pass game. I get that. Maybe Jordan Love's numbers look a little better if Aaron Jones is on this team. Mm. But this offense is not the same offense as last year. The Packers, their identity is they are a running football team. I think they struggle with that identity, but they at least know, hey, if Josh Jacobs is getting the ball 25 times a game, we're going to be in good shape.
All right, and I'm going to flip it as also a fan. I'm going to say it's X because I think I love Josh Jacobs. I love what he's done for this team. I think he's given them a different identity on offense. But I think Aaron Jones would have been really, really good, and I think this offense would have been okay, better than okay, would have been good with Aaron Jones still there. I still worry about the Packers defense. Like today, I'm still worried about
the Packers. Still
worried? Yesterday, last year, I thought they were terrible. They've been terrible for years. I know they got Halfley back. You know, Halfley's there, and maybe that's making a difference. But I think the difference that X makes on the field, with the amount of interceptions, with always being in the right spot, I think that has made a bigger impact than Josh Jacobs on the offense.
Do you know how many times Aaron Jones carried the ball 25 times last year?
Like, maybe once.
Zero,
yep. It's a different offense.
All right, I'm going to give my take.
I'm not looking for 25. I'm looking for what he could do. Like, I don't think the drop-off is that big talent-wise. Yes, number of carries-wise, sure it is. But I think the increase in how much better the defense is that much better. Mate.
It's such a different, it's a different look offense. And I think they are embracing it with Josh Jacobs, because it isn't, last year down the stretch, this offense became extremely explosive. Aaron Jones opens it up, you know, especially in that passing game, all those things last year. I'm going to go with better, it's hard. They're so different and, you know, kind of like so uniquely really like good. I will say together, these are two of the best free agent signings that Goody's ever done.
For sure.
Yes. So like, it's hard to say which one
is
the best.
Like, we're arguing against each other, but we're both arguing that both signings have been awesome.
Yeah, I think X though, like, was an exceptional signing and a great get. Like, the Josh Jacobs signing, it was that's a great free agent signing. Like, you're moving on from Aaron Jones, doing all of these, you know, things. Who did X replace? Darnell Savage. He, you know, replaced like a, you know, a guy who was a draft pick, and like, I love Savage, but X has made a huge difference in how this defense plays, how it looks, the way they attack the football and get turnovers. He is a leader in that, and you can see the impact that he's had on this team and what the New York Giants are missing without him being on the field. They said they have one turnover, one interception, and he has seven, you know, for the Packers. So that alone for me puts X as like probably the best free agent signing from this last year, taking a guy from the Giants. You know, he had a chance. He probably could have gone back there, but to come to the Packers and the impact that he's had, I would definitely go with X on that one.
I'm watching the top 10 plays on ESPN SportsCenter right now, and the Bucky Irving run was number 5. Did you guys see this against the Giants, where Baker Mayfield is like 40 yards down the field blocking? By the way, how's the Terry McLaurin play only number 3?
Oh my gosh.
Well, that was ridiculous. I think kickers are to blame on why it's not number 1.
That's true. Right? I mean, Nacua made a great play on the sideline, but that's not better than McLaurin.
That's going to be one of those forgotten plays.
You got to make an extra point. Come on.
I love Baker Mayfield, by the way. I love all of his antics. Yeah? I love everything he is. Oh, he is the best.
I don't know. I don't know if I saw that coming.
Well, I mean, doing what he did, the DeVita,
Tommy's doing it right now. Yeah. Yes.
Like, I mean, just throwing it out there, and he's just like, I don't even plan these things. It just hit me, and he is literally in his just DNA is just a troll. Like,
is he
just
next
wants
McAfee?
To troll everybody.
Is he the next McAfee after his career? Like, he's got to have a media career after this, right?
For sure. I want his takes. I want to hear what Baker, you know, has on his mind. I want his extra points.
414-677-1250 is the Nicolay Law fan talk and text line. 414-677-1250. We still want your takes on the Packers. Are you encouraged by this game, or is this game kind of a meh, or are you just like already over it, move on to the Dolphins? The Niners were terrible yesterday, and like, let's not even spend any more time on it. But coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we've got our weekend wrap-up. That's right, we'll talk Bucks, Badgers basketball, Marquette basketball, and more. We'll go over our picks from Friday, and Badger football landing one of the biggest recruits in school history.
Bang.
Does that make you feel a little bit better after the atrocious performance on the field on Saturday? And of course, we've got Mason's extra points. All that and more coming up. It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
She didn't show when she let me buy her drink. She even stole a sip of mine. She drove me front of the stairs. Danced all my boots to closing time. I got her number and name. I ain't saying her and her man's got any plans on breaking up. But I tell you what,
she's
She's a little more single than she was.
Wow, Tommy crushing it.
Seriously, Tommy, is that because date number 4 or 5 didn't go well this weekend?
We're going to get there. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It is time for the weekend wrap-up. We've got Bucks to get to, Badgers basketball, Marquette basketball. We've got our picks to get to, but first, we have to talk about incidents on the expressway.
Tommy's weekend.
Dude. So
we saw the pictures.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, which is virtually everyone else listening here, on Saturday was supposed to be date number 4, right? Was actually going in with a better attitude, I think, than we've had for this. I was excited. I was like, let's do it. Let's go. I'm ready. It's going to be a good night. And then if you drove on 894 at about 4:30 in the afternoon and you were wondering why it was backed up,
It wasn't just rush hour traffic.
No.
Nope.
Producer Tommy's tire exploded and just completely, and I'm not talking flat, I'm talking pretty close to driving on the rim, like just exploded. Mason tried to say, what are you driving in an abandoned lot with just rocks everywhere?
And yeah, I thought y'all were like meeting out in the like in the country, taking dirt roads out somewhere. Because yeah, so, I mean, how your tire looked like somebody, yeah, something crazy.
That's
happened.
Just a message out there for the people of Milwaukee. You know what? Hey, let's get this 894 fixed a little bit.
Fix the roads.
It destroyed everything. I was able to avoid any police stopping me and getting involved, but was able to get towed for like $100. Shout out to my guy, Carlos.
Carlos, nicely done. I'm just glad you're still with us.
No, yeah, it was never in a movement like, oh my God, the tire's blown and I'm skirting everywhere.
But could have a car hit you as you were pulled off to the side? Like, I worry about that too.
So
especially during like as it gets darker.
If I would have got about 20 yards farther, there was no white on the side of the road to pull over.
You would have been.
And then that's when it would have been like, okay, the rim's going to get bent and because I have to get out of the way or whatever. Luckily, there is the smallest stretch of white that is about a car length and a half that I was able to pull over into. I threw my hazards on 3 different times. I heard sirens thinking, oh, here they go. They're going to get me. And there was all on the other side of the highway.
Suffice it to say, the next date did not happen. Is it canceled, rescheduled, postponed?
It is
up in the air?
You know what? Sparky was talking to me about it. First of all, everyone at this station is super invested in this
story.
We're
invested. Yeah. We're fully invested.
Let's go.
And so Sparky was pretty much telling me, you know, I'm talking to him, I'll talk to you guys. And he's like,
well, that's your first
mistake. Don't be stupid. Don't overthink this. Stop. Like, angry almost. Yeah, like,
have you met him?
Right. I mean, I mean, that was basically him telling me he loves me. So
yes, exactly. That's his love language.
Yeah, I you know what? I have a different attitude right now. We're gonna go balls to the walls. We're gonna figure it out. Might just surprise her with a text after, like, what are we doing tonight? Let's go.
Ooh, nice.
You know what I mean? So
I feel like we're on the verge of this being like, you know, just a snake bit relationship. So like you need to
Mason, if you can get through this, you can get through anything.
True. Or it's just like maybe you read
time
the,
to walk away.
The writing on the wall on this one, like everything that could happen has happened.
The universe was talking
It's like Murphy's Law happening right now.
Yeah. The universe was a little weird where it's like, don't be excited. This is not a time to be excited. Your car. Boom.
Well, speaking of a place to be excited, Fiserv Forum was a place to be excited this weekend as our Milwaukee Bucks climbed from 10th to 6th in the Eastern Conference standings. That's it is real right now with wins over the Indiana Pacers and the Charlotte Hornets. The Bucks now 8-9 after a 2-8 start. If I do the math, that means they've won 6 of 7.
So good.
Should be 7-0 if you
should
know,
be
you
7-0
know.
And if Doc you know, Rivers you know. Said that in the press conference.
Yep.
Actually corrected a reporter when he's like, oh, you've won 3 of 4. He's like, no, we've won all 4. Yeah.
Ooh,
good for you,
still
Doc.
A little shot back at the, you know, the ref situation without saying it.
Exactly. Bucks play an NBA Cup, their third NBA Cup game tomorrow night in Miami. And if they win that, they're guaranteed to at least get to the play-in portion of the NBA
nice.
Cup. Three wins does that. I know the Golden State Warriors.
The
NBA Emirates Cup. But some nice performances over the weekend, and just like, honestly, Mason, it's amazing what effort will do. Like, you see the effort that the Bucks are playing with during this streak. They're playing so much harder than they started the season, and I don't know why. Like, I can't explain why they didn't play with this effort to start the season, but it's clear that effort makes a difference, so obvious and dumb to say, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis, you know, he talked about it, and he talked about, you know, they needed to find their identity, and they didn't have it early on, and clearly they have found something now, and they're hanging their hat on it. And is it merely, is it just a focus back on the basics and going back into playing really solid effort, you know, good defense, and, you know, just taking the shots that are given, not trying to force things, all that. You know, it just looks like they're playing a simpler form of basketball and just making it look really good. So I love what this Bucks team is doing. You know, I had no doubt. I think, Mitch, you might be the only one that, you know, was kind of still a doubter. Tommy and I already crowned them, so we had no doubt that they were heading this direction. And, you know, I feel really good with where they are right now. I see, though, like, that they, you know, there's no love for them in this NBA Cup on this on Tuesday. You know, they have the Heat at a 61% chance to win this thing. Yeah. But
I know Jimmy just came back, but the Heat aren't very good right now.
They're not great. You know, they're 7-7. I like this Bucks team to go down there, and you know, they have the flair, the international flair, to, you know, go into an Emirates NBA Cup and just get this thing done, and you know, get themselves into those knockout rounds.
I love it. We're just trying to invent all sorts of different reasons why the Bucks are going to win this one.
But better international presence.
But it's so much more fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
When they don't suck.
And
at 2-8, it was like they were losing games by a point over and over and over again, and now they're winning games. And now they've had a couple blowouts.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, again, kind of like the Packers yesterday, where you take like the last 5 minutes, and maybe the Hornets like cut it from 18-9, but it's like, it's still like you can breathe. And then, you know, Bucks hit one shot, and it's like, that's it. It's over. Like, you know, there is your dagger, as our friend Wayne says.
I'd say it was a less stressful weekend other than the college football side of things for us. You know, I thought, you know, Bucks.
No, college football wasn't stressful at all. What are you talking about, Mason?
Exactly. It wasn't really stressful. Like, that thing was over.
Blowout, you know, city, baby.
And then on my side, you know, my old Buffaloes kind of laid an egg there.
So, here in Wisconsin, we kind of like Kansas.
Do we know
that, right? Yeah, because Lance Leipold's the coach at Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the Whitewater guy.
Yeah.
Like,
honestly, they're giant. They're killing teams. I mean, they've won three games against ranked teams. I mean, they are, what, 5-6? Like, they're not a great football team.
The best 5-6 team in the history of the
They might
football.
Be the best team in the Big 12, and they're not going to be in the championship. Like, they are.
Right now, yeah. They're playing some good football. Yeah. Their running back is unbelievable.
Yeah, Devin Neal.
Yeah, their running game was, you know, great. Their defense played solid. They affect the passer. And then that I got to touch on that BYU Arizona State game, because this is a pet peeve of mine. How that game ended. I hate when fans rush the field.
Just no matter what, across the board.
It's embarrassing, in my opinion. Okay. Especially Arizona State's ranked. They're a good football
team.
They're ranked ahead of
BYU.
You beat BYU. Like, I get it. Like, BYU has had a good season, all that. But, like, stay off the field. Like, stop embarrassing yourself. Just, you know, pat yourself on the back. Go get a beer. Hang out after the game and tell yourself that y'all are the best. But get off the stinking field.
Mm.
I mean, they moved, and then BYU caught the ball on the 2-yard line. What if BYU wins that game?
That would have been amazing.
Like, all those Arizona State fans, like, they should have just, like, been required, lock them in the stadium, make them stay in the stands for a whole week just to, for a penance.
That's right.
Okay. Not a fan of Stormin' the Mormons. I got it. Okay.
Stormin' the Mormons. I do not like storming the field. I mean, it's.
All right. What if you're unranked and you beat number one?
See, okay, like I can, yes, okay, I can see that. That yeah. makes sense to me. Mine yeah. is that whenever you're like you're a good football team. Arizona State's right. probably they have a chance to play in the Big 12 championship.
They absolutely like, they are number one in the Big 12 right now.
Like stop it. Like you didn't just yeah you weren't like Vandy beating Alabama. That was big time. Yes. Like they took the and they went all out. They took the goalpost and threw it in the river.
Amen. I mean,
like, go big, but like,
should Auburn be, you know, and I know Auburn's had a bad year this year, but should Auburn be rushing the field after beating Ole Miss?
No, have some respect. Like, you are a, right. like, you should, like, know that you are a, like, a good university. You've had success in the past. Like, back off. And then, again, to do it whenever, like, the game isn't over, this Arizona well, State
stupid.
Situation.
Like yeah.
Like,
how are you that dumb?
Let it end. Let everybody, like, make sure the game's over before you, like, do anything dumb like that. Sorry.
Yeah, I got no, it. No, it was good.
That one bothers me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's get to our weekend picks. We'll talk, let's talk Badgers basketball, Marquette, and Badgers football in the next segment. So let's get to our picks. Tommy, how are we looking?
You know, I am mad at Mason. I am disappointed in myself.
I got him. I got you a couple times this weekend.
And to review it, Mitch, I mean, you had a great week.
I had
man.
A week.
You had
I had
a great
a week.
Week.
You did.
I will give us all a shout out. I think it's the first time all season we all got our solo game. All of us
yes.
got our solo game
yes.
this week.
Got to do that.
Yes.
My soccer picks never miss.
Valhalla crushed it this week, whatever their name
yeah.
is.
Yeah. What did they, Roger Federer, they were going up against at Wimbledon?
They did. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, those cake eaters there in Wimbledon.
Indiana OSU
biscuits.
Mitch, you are the only one that picked OSU to cover the 10 points.
Nice.
I feel like Indiana just was I don't nope. like it. I, you know, dropping punts and you know their defense was so impactful.
You know they were playing
in
Columbus,
game.
Right?
I don't care. The defense
hopeful,
showed up. For
that
Indiana.
Was a hopeful. That was
yes,
a hopeful.
That was
pick
hopeful.
For, by us.
Hope is not a strategy, just, bro.
I'm done with hope. I'm done with hope.
Done with
no,
hope.
No more emotion.
Well,
yes, no,
let's
you
get to
with the head.
The next game yeah. in college football.
I'm a big heart guy.
I mean, I give Mitch crap for this all the time. I knew Wisconsin did this. This
no,
week.
You said.
I said this is
I
the week.
I wrote down Nebraska.
This is the week they rip your heart out because you believe. You believe a little bit, and this is what's going to happen. They are going to kick you while you're down and stomp on your crotch. Like, that is exactly what the Badgers did. Embarrassing first time Nebraska's ever beaten them in the Big Ten. The Freedom Trophy that no one even knows
not
or
even
cares about
right, it's not a thing.
Is now in Nebraska, and all of a sudden, I want it back now. That's dumb. I don't know why we gave it to them. 1.5-point dogs, and it was never close. Didn't matter at all. Mitch, thank you for giving us the insight on just don't pick against Detroit. All of us nailed that one. And then we get
easy.
To this yep. really dumb, bad beat that I'm completely blaming on Mason Crosby. This is the dumbest bet that has ever happened. Mason, literally, you say Baker Mayfield's personality is troll. I say you are the Baker Mayfield of kickers then.
Wow.
I'm there.
Because
I'm going at
you. You picked the Bears because you knew I wanted to pick the Bears, and I think that's just completely not fair. And then right. I looked like, okay, fine, I'll take the Vikings to go against because I'm trying to make up ground. And Minnesota is up by 11 with, like, I don't know, 3 seconds left on the clock. It was a minute and change. But I texted you, they are going to cover this dang spread because they're going to go for two. I knew it was going to happen in the moment. They go for two. I think, oh, wow, this is awful. Terrible beat by Tommy. Then they recover the first onside kick all year. All year.
That was a good onside.
And that bails me out. Okay, I have a chance. If Minnesota scores a touchdown, then they're going to cover just like that. No, instead, Tommy, get kicked in the balls again this weekend. And the Bears, just a terrible overtime drive and a chip shot field goal for the Vikings. You guys both picked that one correct. I don't, because it was a 3.5-point spread. Solo games, Walsall.
That was an easy pick.
Valhalla
yeah.
with the win over Wimbledon.
Yeah, Walsall. I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep. Top of
did
the table. Let's
did
go.
Did you know anything about Walsall before your group got involved?
I had no clue. No.
Yeah, okay.
yeah.
Like
okay.
you knew soccer.
I'd like to say I have like a D. I know soccer. I you know,
so
deep
what's
dive.
The name of
I know
that
the
league?
Leagues. So they're in League 2.
Right.
So there's,
is there a name of it?
It's just English Football League. Okay. And so you have the Premier League is the top
Premier
league.
League, right.
And then it's weird. They have the Championship,
right, which is
second tier.
Right.
And then League One and then League Two. So we're in the fourth, like, professional league.
But you're on top of the table. So we're top of the table. Up.
So we can get promoted if we finish top three. If you finish top four, you get promoted up. So it's awesome.
So it's looking good.
Mitch, you were all
looking good right now. Halfway through.
You were all over your Bruins, Mitch.
Yep. 2-1.
Very nice.
Made it a little bit dicier than I thought. It was 1-1 deep into the third period.
A big thank you to the Harvard Crimson. 22-point fourth quarter to cover that 10-point spread.
What was the final score there?
34-29.
Yeah.
And they covered it. They just went off in the fourth.
That's all.
Good teams win. Great teams cover, guys. Okay. Harvard, very nice. And Packers, all of us had the 3-point spread. We thought that was pretty lame. You guys had a little bit of a closer game. I think I was kind of closest on the score there, 27-13. That was the – I told you I think that
I – You get like a bonus point for that?
No,
like, what are you
looking
for?
I'm just trying to say that I know ball on the Packers better than Mason.
So in a separate universe where I am not risk-averse – and I'm like willy-nilly with money and like stupid, I definitely went to Potawatomi the second I heard about Brock Purdy and put like $500 down on the Packers.
The spread
was
only five.
I actually thought about doing it. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, I was downtown. I was literally driving by Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh, what a weenie I am.
Yeah, Mitch, you are 20 and 15.
You weren't convinced.
20 and 15. So what did I go this week?
That's like 5-1.
That's good. 5-1, baby.
Wow. That's your second 5-1 week. Mason, you go 4-2 with an asterisk,
right,
and I go 3-3 with an asterisk.
All right,
Mason, you are 18-17 now on the season.
Nice. All right, winning.
And I am 15-20. Right now,
you know what
slip.
Though?
That's a slip.
It's a slip, but it's not like
no. I went 500. I went 3-3.
Right. You're okay.
Yeah,
sure. Still a lot left.
I should be 4-2. Right. I should be 4-2.
Should be.
We all should be everything.
Should be. Kickers break your heart all the time. I know. It's how it works.
I should see if I have home video of me screaming at Mason some point.
You probably do.
Probably multiple times. Yeah, but this is a goat to hero story. See, you're here with me now. You've seen me go goat to hero. Now it's your turn.
I can't wait.
Time to climb.
You are going to get trolled so hard in these pick segments forever.
Can Luke Fickell go from goat to hero? We'll talk about Badgers football coming up as a terrible, terrible loss on Saturday, but big win off the field, Saturday night or Sunday morning?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was Saturday that we found out about Carter Smith. So we'll talk about that. We'll also touch on the job Greg Gard is doing with the Badgers basketball team. And, of course, Marquette just keeps on rolling as we circle
good.
December 7th on our calendars. Cannot wait for how lit downtown Milwaukee will be on that day. He's Mason Crosby. Tommy Wirtz is on the other side of the glass. And Sparky's talking about the Packers dominating win over the 49ers with Tyler Dunn of GoLongTD.com. Tyler had spent a couple minutes in Green Bay covering the Packers. He'll be on this afternoon at 2:40.
Tyler's great.
Yep. Great dude. And is he in Buffalo now? I feel like he's based in Buffalo, maybe.
That's where he was last. Yeah, I think that might be where he's still.
But he's doing national stuff now, and of course he's still watching the Packers. So that'll be 2:40 today on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Man, I could go for a dulce de leche frosty right now. Just saying, salted
as
caramel.
As I digress.
Salted caramel. Just saying, like.
I am the salt.
You want to hook me up with a salted caramel frosty? Like, let's go, Wendy's.
Whew.
I'm here. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nellis. It's the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Lost buddies say I'm getting in too deep, but I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. I try so hard.
I can't rise above it.
Don't know what it is about that little gal's loving, but I like it. I love it.
I want some more of it. Yes. It's the Mason Crosby Show here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. After being committed for a year, I decided to decommit and reopen my recruitment with only a few weeks left before signing day. I've talked to a lot of coaches in such a short time and have made many amazing relationships. I'm extremely grateful for all the opportunities that were offered to me. With that being said, I decided to commit to the University of Wisconsin. I fell in love with everything that they had to offer. An electric fan base, an incredible coaching staff, and a great education. I could not have gotten more lucky. Go Badgers. Carter Smith in his own words.
That's big time. I know that guy was...
Who was happier, Carter Smith or Luke Fickell? Because it saved Luke's job.
It did. It got him, you know, like we said, I think he got him two more years just to kind of see where this thing goes. We talked about that. We talked about that at the end of last week. Carter Smith was that piece. If they could get him, that was going to be huge. So this last week in recruiting for the Badgers was huge, even though they didn't execute on the field. Those are some big wins for this program.
Yeah, they needed a quarterback, and we've talked about that. And it's great that you can bring in, you know, with all the NIL and with all the transfer rules now, not sitting out a year and being able to go, you know, that Van Dyke can come in, and this guy can come in, and this guy can come in. And, you know, whatever you think about Braden Locke, I would actually say from Saturday's game, he wasn't a bright spot, but he wasn't the reason they lost. Like, they were terrible, and he actually didn't play that poorly, I didn't think. But they need... Especially if they're going to run what Luke Fickell says he wants to run, they need a real quarterback who can run that system and can run it from day one and can get and can jump right in. And so the question is Carter Smith that guy? Because we got our hopes up. Graham Mertz goes and plays in the high school senior bowl and crushes it and throws like a bunch of touchdowns. And then his first start with Wisconsin, it's a night game against Illinois. He goes like 21 for 22 with 5 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
The greatest awesome. Performance in the history of the United States of Earth in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And then Graham Mertz became Graham Mertz and just like amazingly inconsistent. Injury prone and like not a bad dude, but not like the kind of guy that rallied his team around him. He wasn't quite Bo Callahan, where nobody came to his birthday party.
Callahan.
But yeah, but
nice.
There was I felt like there was a little bit of Bo Callahan there. The hope is that Carter Smith can be the type of guy, both on and off the field, that again, like he says, gets the fan base excited, the electric fan base, as he said, because we are yearning to move into, like, yes, part of us, and I know Mark Tauscher said it, I know J.J. Watt said it, I know a bunch of the former Badgers said it on Twitter this weekend, like, we need to get back to the offensive line and to running into this and to that. And, like, maybe we do a little bit, but we also have to move into the 21st century and be able to play the type of game. If Luke Fickell can be successful, let's be successful. Like,
An air raid offense doesn't just mean that you abandon the run game.
No, it does not.
So I think this is the, again, last week I talked a lot about Fickell as a salesman. So this is the ultimate salesman, you know, grab right here. Like, he got his quarterback. So he is tying his success and his ship to Carter Smith, to you know, the recruits that he's bringing in to accomplish the sales pitch that he, you know, he made becoming the coach here at Wisconsin. So I think it's great. You got your quarterback. So now, if it doesn't work out with Carter Smith, it doesn't work for Fickell. Like, and so I'm right. Fine with it. I think this is excellent. He got his guy. He got somebody that he can, you know, put his hat on and say, like, this is what we are trying to do. We obviously are showing it to recruits. We're showing it to guys around the country that we have the pieces in place and we have the staff that can get this done. And if it doesn't work out, then it's okay. Like, you got your stuff, you did your thing, you went all in, and I'm all for that. And that is what a great salesman, that's what a great college football coach does,
yep.
Is goes all in, pushes his chips in, and says, it's either going to work my way, it's going to work this way, or it's not. I have my guy. We're going to lean on him to get this thing done.
The eggs are in the basket now. Tommy, what do you got for me?
According to Rivals, this moved the Badgers up to the number 17 recruiting class in 2025.
Nice.
Carter Smith was their 10th four-star that they brought in. Of course, none of them from Wisconsin still.
That part is the weird part, right, Mason? Like, that is weird.
It is weird. Yeah, I mean the reach is wide. It's I think Badger Nation though can be excited about the fact that like the rest of the country sees what the Badgers have been and what they hopefully can be, and the excitement about the fan base and what that organization is. But I'm never going to stop saying it that like if you don't get your 4-star, 5-star recruits, anyone that comes out of Wisconsin, then you just have missed, on something there that you have to be able to find a way to put them into your system if they are coming out of Wisconsin and they're quality players. There are enough quality players that you get them, the ones you don't want, the ones that don't fit at all, those can go other places, but you have to get the best players out of Wisconsin.
I know Sparky gets really into recruiting. Wisconsin Sports Daily, 2 to 5, Monday through Friday, right here on The Fan, 105.7 FM and 1250 AM. Our studio is powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And maybe it's worth us talking to one of these national guys, or maybe even a local guy, and finding out, what is it? Like, what is it about Luke Fickell? What is it about the current, Chris McIntosh? What is it about the current... by the way, I took accounting for non-business majors as an undergrad with Chris McIntosh.
Okay.
Yeah, we were in class together. No big deal,
So you're an accountant now?
For non-business majors, Mason.
It means accounting
for dummies, like people who are idiots who don't know anything about numbers, take an accounting class.
So was that the book that they gave you?
Basically, it was accounting for dummies. It should have been, actually.
All right.
But actually, a good friend of mine from high school was the TA who taught the class, and I got moved into an A- or an AB from a B because I was the bottom of the people who were on the fence. But because it was me, he moved us all up. So that's fraud.
I am also an accounting for dummies graduate myself.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. Perfect. Yes. But there's that
Wisconsin education that Carter Smith was talking about. He's excited about that.
But I think it is worth a bigger conversation and a bigger why aren't in-state guys staying? And I know kudos to Bayport. I don't know. Did you have high school football in your extra points?
I was going to touch on it at some point in the show, I got to give shout out to the Green Bay high school teams. Notre Dame Academy won it.
Well, and the kid ran for 400 yards.
Just balled out.
Yeah, he had over 3,000 rushing yards for the season.
And so what's his story?
He's getting a lot of calls to be a walk-on at places
now. Is he a senior?
He's a senior. He led the state in rushing yards last year and this year.
So it's is he not a college prospect? Is Wisconsin not in on him?
I don't know his size stats.
I don't know any of I don't know anything.
Tommy, look those up. I will get that looked up. Okay. I know it's very similar to a guy who was at Kimberly High School named Blair Mulholland. Also led the state in rushing yards the last 2 years of my years of high school, and he did not get a D1 offer. But I will get.
Did he go somewhere though?
I haven't heard of him since.
I feel some of these guys could go to Whitewater, could go to Eau Claire, could go to Oshkosh and end up playing. But anyway, besides that, and I don't know. Again, I don't know if this guy's a college recruit type player, but for none of the top guys, Wisconsin has 22 commits in the class, I think, or 23 now.
And none of them out of Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin has 3 4-star recruits, according to Rivals, in the state. 2 of them going to Notre Dame, 1 of them going to Tennessee.
Right.
Yeah, the Notre Dame one kind of makes sense.
Go to a Catholic school or something like that.
Tennessee doesn't make any sense.
I agree. Tennessee doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think Notre Dame makes sense
and
either.
And that kid's from Verona. That's right by Madison.
Right. Right outside of Madison. I don't think Notre Dame makes sense either.
So I like some direct comparisons.
If you're
going to
stay in the Midwest, stay home.
And something that I'm excited about, and I'm going to give my Colorado Buffs another shout out.
Yeah, but, you do
They landed a big recruit as well this week, a quarterback. So I'm going to be excited to watch to see how these two compare as they're competing here the next few years. They landed Julian Lewis out of Georgia, the number 2 quarterback, actually overall recruit, I guess, 5-star quarterback out of Georgia. So that's the national recruiting is heavy. Teams can go reach in from anywhere now. And obviously, with NIL and with all the stuff going on, I get that it's not just all right, get what you can in your state, try to do all those things. But I do feel in the state of Wisconsin, you're missing, especially whenever there's just, you know, limited. What you said, there's 3 4-star recruits, and the fact that you couldn't grab at least one of those guys doesn't make any sense to me.
Statman Steve texts in 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. It's the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line. Wisconsin Badgers will win Friday to become bowl eligible, right? The last time Badgers missed a bowl, you have to go all the way back to 2001. To put this in perspective, Mitch Thunder Nellis was a student at UW then, if not mistaken. You are mistaken. I graduated in 2000. But I was covering the team then, and so I remember some lean years there. But no, I mean, I have no confidence that the Badgers will win this game.
Absolutely none.
Like, why are we, you know, Minnesota just went to, you know, went down to the wire with Penn State. Wisconsin, I would have no confidence in Wisconsin. I just don't have any. I don't have any confidence in the team right now.
So if Fickell doesn't land this Carter Smith and you know, flip the, what was his name?
Jalen Williams.
Yeah, yep. I thought it was Williams. If he doesn't do that this last week, do you think he is on the hot seat if they didn't make a bowl game?
Yeah, or? But I don't think they get rid of him.
I mean, how much is his buyout? How much is his buyout? It's got to be ridiculous.
But I also think they still want to give him at least even if he hadn't gotten these guys, I think they still want to give him one more year. I think you're right, Mason, that now he's got 2 more years just because you bring in a new quarterback and see how that goes.
Yeah, you got to see how it goes.
Yeah, but I do think he had at least the start of next year. Now, if they start 0-5 and things go, you know, and they lose to non-conference opponents, that could change things. But I do think that he's bought himself. I think his seat would have been hot, but I don't think he would have been fired.
If they were to fire him before 2027, it's a $40 million buyout.
Woo-wee.
So he has still 27. Wow. Yeah, so that's good. I agree. So it's, yeah, kind of a two-year deal here where, you know, he has his recruit, he has his quarterback that he needs to develop. I'm assuming he'll probably play, you know, next year. He'll be the guy, or at least, you know,
we would
hope,
we would assume so.
And yeah, so you have a 2-year window here to at least compete for that Big Ten championship and try to get into the playoffs at some point here in the next 2 years. That's kind of where my mindset is. Yep. Is if you're not, you know, at least, you know, making a run at the Big Ten championship and, you know, sniffing the playoffs, then it's a failed, you know, situation. But, yep. You know, I don't even know if you don't make it, but at least it's like, you know, you're right there.
No, you got to be like, 8-4, 9-3. You got to be in the conversation.
Yeah,
you can lose to Oregon. You can lose to Ohio State. After that, like, let's be competitive in
right.
this.
You
Big
shouldn't
Ten
be getting
landscape.
Blown out by Iowa and Nebraska, who you've right. never been blown out for.
Christian Collins, 39 carries, 10.5 yards a carry at 408 yards in the state
That's
championship
awesome.
Game. That ties the that breaks the record for high school football, but it ties the Camp Randall record with Melvin Gordon against
sure.
Nebraska, of course. Yep. He scored on runs of 25, 41, 65, 73, and 7 yards in the game. So 5 touchdowns as well for him.
That's awesome.
He's 5'10", 190. That's what he's listed as. I mean, that's pretty, I mean, a little small for a running back, but you can't gain 20 pounds when you go to college in
sure
your first
you
year. So
yeah, does he catch the ball? I mean, did they throw him at all? Is there like a concern that he can't, you know, that feels almost like a, you know, scat back type of guy.
When you
something
go
that you can
look
use
at,
in a,
ooh, he only had 6 receptions all year, it looks like. So,
yeah, so
that's,
yeah,
not
but that
very
could be,
that's their type of offense.
Right. That
yeah.
could be a program I mean. Philosophy also.
Yep. I feel like that's a guy like, again, Wisconsin, who knows, you get him in your program. I mean, like you can't deny those numbers, even if it's not in like the biggest division there in Wisconsin. I mean, that's
6,560 career rushing yards. It's the 5th all time in state history.
Wow,
man.
All right, let's switch gears real quick because we want to get to Mason's extra points. Mason, I don't know, is shooting free throws like 60-63, like 95%? Is that good? I don't know much about sports.
That sounds solid. Yeah.
Yeah. John Tongi is 60-63, 95.2%. And yesterday, the Badgers beat Pitt, who's played very well this year. Pittsburgh's a good. It seems like they're back a little bit. They are now. That was their first loss, so they're 6-1. The Badgers now 7-0. Tongi has had 33 points. John Blackwell had 14. Nolan Winter 11, and Kamari McGee, who's been great off the bench, he had 10. The Badgers overperforming where we expected this season, And a lot of it is because they brought in the right, I mean, John Tonji's the right guy that they brought in, fits the offense, fits in within the team, and has worked out really well so far.
Yeah, obviously, an exceptional shooter, doing all the little things, like, to, you know, the amount of times he's getting fouled as well. Like, what was the one game he had? Like,
he was 21 for 22.
Yeah, yep. In one game. I mean, like, just you know, affecting the game that much that you're getting to the line that often is you know, exceptional. And then he's just a great shooter. This team's fun to watch. I love that Marquette and the Badgers are just, you know, rolling right now.
Yes.
It's you know, it's building fun. Up that suspense to their matchup here coming in a few weeks. I think that just you know, that kind of stuff, like college basketball, as we're transitioning out of football season, once that starts ticking along, and you know, we're really locked into that, those two teams are going to be fun to watch down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Marquette beat Georgia, gave them their first loss on Saturday. Marquette improves to 6-0. And David Joplin, who's a in my mind a pretty inconsistent shooter, went 6-for-11 from three, had 29 points, and nice. It's just like they can get it from different guys on different nights, which is what Marquette really does a nice job between Joplin and Chase Ross and Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell and Ben Gold. I mean, all five of them are double-digit machines offensively and can really turn it on when they need them.
Yeah, in your opinion,
Marquette.
Sorry. Go ahead. Marquette has a top 10 player in the NCAA right now in Cam Jones.
Yes, for sure.
For sure. So whenever you're watching both these teams, like, what's your opinion? Which team do you think is better at the moment? Like, who do you like better, Badgers or Marquette?
Yeah, I think Marquette's better at the moment just because of the amount of experience they have that have played in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Right. But Wisconsin, it just looks like, you know, yeah, you don't want to peak in November in college basketball, but it looks like they have enough offense that it's like, you know, it's so often in Wisconsin we've talked about that they can't score.
Yeah.
This team has players who can, like, you know, you need a bucket, you can give it to Tonji and score. It's not like they're playing hot potato.
Klesmit can shoot.
Blackwell can score. It's not like they're playing hot potato and with shot clock violations. It's a team that can, which we're not used to with the Badgers.
I just think, I think Marquette might be a more balanced team for sure. Yeah, I think they play some great defense when they need to as well. So I'm excited about that game for sure. I'm circling that one on the calendar. But yeah, I think this Marquette team has what it takes to, you know, kind of continue this forward. I think the Badgers team is going to compete and be there in the, you know, in the tournament. But I think this Marquette team is just really, you know, really balanced and well rounded.
The 18th annual Fan and Kiss FM Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest is back at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Elk Creek next week, the week of December 2nd. So bring a new toy by, make a cash donation on site, or donate online. It's going to be a blast next week at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. And coming up, it's going to be a blast because we are going to dive in. I got my bathing suit on. I'm diving into Mason's brain, baby.
That's an image.
Yeah, that's nobody needs that one. But it's Mason's Extra Points coming up right here on the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I want to know
what you're thinking. What's on Mason Crosby's mind today? It's time for Extra Points, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on 1250 AM. Tell me what's on your mind. And 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, we're back with me, Mason Crosby, and this is my Extra Points, and it is Thanksgiving week. Oh, I love Thanksgiving. I'm gonna get a little deep at the end of this Extra Points and kind of, you know, share a little of my heart, and you know, all week I'm gonna talk about what I'm thankful for. But there is something I want to talk about right before that, and it's video games. So my son gets up this morning at 8, or he's up earlier, and he wakes up early, mind you, for this 8 a.m. deal where he wants to get a certain, I guess, new skin or something that comes on Fortnite.
Nice.
And yeah, see, that's, I was going to ask you, Tommy, are you a Fortnite guy?
I think I'm a Fortnite guy just because, like, it's a good game to play with friends.
Okay. Yeah, it does seem like almost like a hangout.
Yeah, you know, it's spot. Not necessarily I'm playing Fortnite on my own a lot.
I'm going to shoot you in the face. Let's hang out.
I cannot get into Fortnite. I love Call of Duty. I love all the sports games. I'm a huge Madden, FIFA, you know, the NHL games, some of my favorite all time. My brother and I used to rip up like some of the old NHL games.
Some shell.
Yeah, and just playing like on the same team and, you know, going. I loved like the old school, like the always goal was you loop around the net and then just wrap it in. That was the go-to. But yeah, my son is into Fortnite. I literally tried to watch him play the other day where him and his buddies are just like riding around on a car. I'm like, aren't there other people? Like, are you supposed to be fighting people, or is this just like kind of go out and have fun and like you're just kind of like hanging in this virtual space? So it does, you know, it might make me sound old, but I don't think I would have liked that even as a young kid. Like, that's just not the type of video games that I like to play. So that's my take on video games this morning. I will be playing some as it is Thanksgiving week and all the kids are out of school all week. Nolan and I will probably dive in. He cannot beat me at FIFA. We go back and forth on Madden and NCAA, but yeah, he cannot hang with me in FIFA. It's usually 3-0 skunks, you know, by the end of the first half. But I am going to go into my extra point segment of the weeks. This whole week will be things I'm thankful for. Today, I'm going to talk, as it's Monday, and I think we all just need a little bit of this. And I'm going to say I'm thankful for my family.
Aww.
I know. And that has so many pieces. And I know a lot of my family, which I appreciate them so much, are they jump on and they listen to the show, whether they are listening live or they jump on the Odyssey app every day to listen when they can. And that is a longstanding level of support that I've felt from my family through all my playing years, you know, going all the way back through literally, you know, playing in soccer and, you know, club travel soccer to high school football and, you know, the tough, cold, rainy, snowy conditions, you know, all the things that they had to come through. My family getting up to Green Bay from Texas all those years. They had some crazy travel days and travel stories throughout the years. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I'm thankful for my family, the love and the support that they've given me, and you know, hope that they feel how much I appreciate and love them. And as we're moving through this Thanksgiving week, I just want us to be thankful all week. Don't lose sight of the fact that Christmas is coming, and that is another great holiday that I love. Let's remember that it is Thanksgiving and to be thankful for those around us, especially family, on this beautiful Monday that we got to wake up again and celebrate each other. Well, guys, a great Monday. Great Monday to be alive. I will be chasing kids around the rest of the day because for some reason our school district does not like to have them in on Thanksgiving week, or seems like very much at all. So
ridiculous. That's ridiculous. How do they not have school today and tomorrow?
You know, I would have loved it as
a kid. That doesn't make any sense.
We have so many things going.
Today's a normal day at school. My kids, I mean, high school is on, but my kids, the elementary school and the middle school, they have pajama day tomorrow. It's like,
see, exactly.
Hang
that's
out.
What,
it's like, you know,
they
spend
might
time
just
with
be smarter here. They're just like, all right, why waste everyone's time doing all these little
because then
events?
You don't have to babysit your own kids, dude.
It's not okay. Yeah, tell my wife that. Like, I've said that. Oh, yeah, I'll watch or babysit or I'll watch the kids. Like, that doesn't fly. She's like,
why
you
send
are
them
their,
to school?
You
at
are their
then?
Father.
Why send them to school at all then? Just keep them home all day.
Hey, we're getting a lot done this week. Nolan's at a basketball camp. One of our daughters is at a gymnastics camp for a few days and a few hours. We have dentist appointments.
They better be getting stuff
A couple of kids are getting braces on Wednesday, which I feel really bad for them because now they're going to get braces and then go to Thanksgiving.
No, come on, Molly.
We're the worst parents
ever. Molly, you got to change that right now. We are the
worst parents ever. So bad.
Brutal. That's brutal.
I know. That's what they get. We gotta make our kids suffer a little bit.
Real quick, Mason, which Harbaugh do you have tonight? It's Ravens at Chargers. Which Harbaugh do you have?
You know, I'm liking the Chargers right now. I'm going to go with the Chargers tonight.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm
a little down on the Ravens. We'll see if they can bounce back. But I like this Chargers team right now.
Yeah. No. I'm a big
Herbert fan too. I like Justin Herbert.
I got to check. Let's see the Potawatomi.
What do we got on it?
We got the Ravens favored in LA by 2.5. So you might want to just take the LA money line.
Yeah, just Tommy, do you want to put this in our weekly picks? Oh. You want to go against it?
You know, I do have a future for everyone. Giannis has the fourth best playoff odds right now, MVP odds. Sorry, right. +800.
+800. Luka just got hurt. Jokic is. I don't think Jokic has a chance.
+800. Giannis MVP.
Who's in the
Shea
running?
Shea and Jason Tatum.
Right. So really, Giannis is third because he's behind Luka still.
No, Luka's fourth. Oh, he fell behind down? Him now
because he was ahead of him last week. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's
I can see it happening.
I like it.
So let's get down to the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Make it happen.
I might put a future on it. Mason, throw me some cash.
Nice. All right. We'll send you something.
All right, Mason. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Oh, Molly sent me a text. She said she's rebuttaling some of my takes.
Fair. That's true.
On being thankful for family.
We'll get it. Yeah. No, we'll get into
on
that
the braces stuff. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. We'll get into that tomorrow during Mason's extra points. Mason, let's do it again tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow. What a great Monday. And let's be thankful, guys.
He's Mason Crosby. My name's Mitch Nels. Tommy Wirtz is on the other side of the glass. You've been listening to the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Let's have a Monday, y'all.
Later.
Broadcasting live from the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It's the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.